This is The Root Cellar on Pioneer 90.1, where regional history and family folklore come together with your hosts, Jim and Jan Stranley.
When we think of Minnesota and religion, we think mostly of Lutherans and Catholics. These two religions have been the backbone of Minnesota, the conscience, if you will, of our state. But there are other denominations, other religious beliefs important to our state as well. In 1856, just prior to Minnesota becoming a state, 8 Jewish fur traders founded Mount Zion Hebrew Congregation, the first Jewish synagogue in Minnesota. The first services were held in a rented room along Robert Street in downtown St. Paul. Mount Zion is a Reform congregation, and every Reform congregation in the Twin Cities can trace their existence to leaders of Mount Zion. Why they chose this particular name is not known, but it does draw on the Jewish tradition. They got organized, purchased land for a cemetery, and elected officers. They applied for incorporation, and that was granted by the state. They were well on their way. Members of Mount Zion quickly became involved in all facets of building their new city, both through their business ties and their service to others. The women of Mount Zion were concerned about new immigrants coming into the state. They created a place called Neighborhood House on the west side of St. Paul. It has been a safe haven for immigrants coming to Minnesota for many years. It also provides emergency services and language classes for the new immigrants. Now Minnesota's newest arrivals from Mexico, Laos, Somalia, and other countries are being helped in the same way. A temple was designed and constructed in the 1950s. Today, 690 families gather regularly for religious services and continue also to serve the community. They must have been doing something right, for Mount Zion Reform Congregation was nominated as one of the 150 people, places, and things that help shape our state. The exhibit located in the Minnesota Historical Building is still available for viewing. It was established for the sesquicentennial celebration in Minnesota a couple of years ago. The parent group for the Jewish community in the St. Paul area is the United Jewish Fund and Council. Their goal is to help others in the community and around the world. They partner with social services, educational institutions, and other synagogues in developing and planning to achieve this goal. They help older people with special needs, provide children and teens with plenty of opportunities to keep busy, and offer help to families in distress. Jan's granddaughters have been associated with the Jewish community by participating in theater and swimming lessons and other activities at the Community Center for Jewish Children, but also open to others living in the neighborhood. The granddaughters no longer live in that neighborhood, but still participate in what the Community Center has to offer. What a huge impact the Jewish community has made on the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Another group that was formed early on was the Pilgrim Baptist Church, Minnesota's oldest African-American church. They were also nominated for the Minnesota 150 exhibit at the Historical Center. In other words, they made an impact on our state. Well, how did all this come about? A group of new freed slaves from Boone County, Missouri, made their way to St. Paul, Minnesota in search of employment and better lives. The travelers called themselves Pilgrims. One of the individuals in the group, a gentleman by the name of Robert T. Hickman, had been taught to read by his former slave master. He also had been given permission to preach to other slaves. On his arrival in St. Paul, Hickman began organizing prayer services in the homes of his fellow travelers. As time went on, they also rented space in buildings throughout the city. Finally, in November of 1866, after the Civil War was over, Hickman and others held a baptismal service on the banks of the Mississippi River near downtown St. Paul, marking the formal organization of Pilgrim Baptist Church. as Minnesota's first African-American church, Pilgrim Baptist soon built a gathering place with seats for 300 on Sibley Street. Finally, the congregation moved to its current building at 732 Central Avenue West in 1928. It has served over the years as a place of worship and a community center for St. Paul's African American community. A harbor in a storm, as one person put it. They marked their 125th anniversary since the time they were formed back in 1988. They have met the challenge and have moved forward. Pilgrim Baptist Church is a learning, living, and loving church in the heart of St. Paul. The church mission statement is that we glorify God and make disciples of Jesus Christ through our commitment to worship, word, and witness. The Baptists have a parent group in the state of Minnesota called the Minnesota Baptist Association. There are many Baptist churches throughout the communities of Minnesota, each of them serving their members with religious zeal and serving their communities as much as possible. But the Pilgrim Baptist Church is probably one of the most unique. Of course, we know there are many other denominations of religious congregations in Minnesota, and they all do provide services and religious opportunities. This is just another area where diversity enhances our state, and it goes to show that we all don't think alike, and that's a good thing. Well, let's see what Jan has come up with for today.
Hi. Just because I had such an interesting day last week, I'd like to tell you about it, my listeners. The Roseau County Historical Society has been working on an important project for quite some time. The name of the project was Roseau County Women in Military. Committees were formed and the tasks were assigned. Through their county veterans office and also the local branches of the service organizations, they compiled a list of the women who had served in the armed forces from Roseau County. As many of these women as they could locate were sent a letter of inquiry about their years of service. This was, needless to say, a daunting project because, for one thing, women have this habit of changing their last name many times, more than once. So to track them all down, if they didn't have family still living in the area, was sometimes impossible. Another thing is the strong majority of them entered the service as young women, and so of course they were using their maiden name, and life has gone on. So it made it very difficult to locate addresses for them. From the letters that were received, the Historical Society created a display of many of their stories, complete with their official service portrait. It's most interesting to view and to read about the sacrifices they made and a few of their experiences, all varied according to the years they served and what was happening in the world at the time. On Saturday, March 20th, 2010, a celebration was held in the Roseau City Center to honor all of these women veterans, with a luncheon for all those who could come and one guest. Following the luncheon, a program for the public was held, and listed on the program were 150 names of women from just Roseau County who had served their country in the various branches of the military. Following the flag ceremony and among some musical numbers, a few of these military women gave speeches about their years of service. And everyone present received a wonderful certificate of appreciation. Everyone was then invited for coffee and goodies to honor these military women. It was quite a day. Well, what was my part in it? I was asked to do interviews for a DVD that a class of high school students will create. How much fun do you think that was for me? Every story is different, and no matter their age or the branch of service they chose, it's all so interesting, and each one of them is to be commended for their dedication and commitment. None of the military women I spoke with served in combat zones. They were not in particularly dangerous jobs, but the duties they fulfilled were very important to the overall operation. I didn't happen to visit with any of those who were nurses as enlisted service women and who work tirelessly in hospitals, caring for the sick and wounded from accidents or war injuries. But all are to be commended for taking these precious years out of their young lives to serve our country. I'm going to share with you part of one of the interviews I did with a young gal named Amy, who found herself in a very unique opportunity. She had enlisted in the Marine Corps. And I might add, because I don't think she mentions it, but she ended up in the same unit in Japan as her brother. And she said that was very unusual, too, but she found it very comforting to be there with him. She found out in training that even though she had never shot a gun in her life, she turned out to be quite a marksman, or a markswoman, I guess it would be. So I'll let her tell you about it. Here she is.
And she is one of the women in military. Tell me about your branch of service, Amy. What branch did you go into?
I enlisted in the Marine Corps in 1997.
1997, Marine Corps. Was that a common thing for women to be doing at that time?
I'm not sure about everyone. I was like the sixth one from Roseau County that had enlisted.
Ever.
In the Marine Corps.
Wow.
Most of them went National Guard or Army.
Yeah, that was quite unique.
Yeah.
And you were stationed where?
I was stationed in Okinawa, Japan.
And I want to hear a little bit about the accomplishments that you did over there. Tell me about your marksmanship.
I was chosen to participate on the Marine Corps rifle team in 2000. I spent 3 months with them, and all we did was competitive shoot. We traveled all over. We went to Kentucky and Ohio.
A few matches,
yes.
We
shot a few matches in Ohio and Virginia, Kentucky.
And how well did you do in those competitions?
I actually did quite well. I won the Women's Rifle Trophy in Camp Perry, Ohio, for being a high woman shooter out of all the competitors.
Really?
I think there was over 1,000 competitors, and I received a gold medal.
Really?
Plus the trophy. And then the women's team we had, there was four of us, we set a national record for the women's high-power rifle four-member team.
Wow.
I believe is what it was called.
Now, how much shooting had you done before you went into the Marine Corps?
Absolutely none.
None?
I tried once, but the way I was holding the rifle, my brothers were laughing at me, so I didn't even bother. I just put it down and I was like, okay, forget it. But I'd never shot before, ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Do you miss it?
I do. I do miss it.
Do you do some shooting now?
No.
Just for fun?
Well, once in a while, my brother-in-law and my sisters all maybe shoot once in a while, but...
Do they try to beat you?
I think in a way, yeah.
And can they?
They try hard, I guess. I'm not going to say anything.
But you still probably are pretty good, huh?
Maybe. I haven't done a lot of shooting since I came home.
What advice would you give a young girl on considering joining the military?
I think it'd be a really great opportunity for anyone.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn?
I learned a lot about myself. Self-confidence was a big one. It kind of brought me out of my shell a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was really quite shy and kind of reserved when I went in. Totally different when I came home. Like,
really?
Complete opposite, yeah.
Well, I think opposite in maybe some of your habits. You were still the same old girl, I guess.
Yeah, I was just a little more outspoken, maybe.
You might not be doing this interview. had you not gone through it?
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for visiting with me today.
And that was my interview with Amy, who is a veteran of the Marine Corps. And I'd like to close with a letter that was sent to the Roseau Times Region, the local paper, as a letter to the editor last week. Dear editor, this is a salute to the ladies of the Roseau County Historical Society for the superb event that they organized to honor county women who have served or are serving in the military. The tremendous amount of work that went into this enterprise was evident from the patriotic theme of the luncheon tables and excellent meal to the unexpected but certainly appreciated certificates which were presented to the veterans. The speeches, songs, honor guard, VFW participation, the splendid wall display in the museum all contributed to making it a moving experience. When one has served in the military, no matter how long ago, any patriotic event leaves a lump in the throat and a tug at the heart. You certainly did yourselves proud. It was a most memorable day. Thanks to everyone and anyone who played a part in this very special occasion. Sincerely, and it was signed by a woman veteran from World War II. Very, very good. Thank you, Roseau Historical Society. That's all for today. Bye.
The Root Cellar with Jim and Jan Stranley is a production of Pioneer 90.1. You can hear it Monday nights at 6:30 on The Kathy Erickson Show, and Wednesday mornings with Ben at 7:30 a.m.